John 1, chapter 1, 1 to 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and through the world was made through him. The world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not for natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." Amen.
Well, g'day everyone. Good morning and Merry Christmas. Whatever you're doing today, I hope you have a really great day today. I wanted to start though by talking a bit more about birthdays. Let me ask, what are the kind of birthdays that you remember? Whose birthdays? For me, growing up, it was my mum and my dad, my brother, my sister, my grandma, my pa. I remember these birthdays every year because those are the birthdays we always got together, had cake, had lollies, had nice food. It was worth remembering. And then when I got married, I actually remembered the wrong day for my wife's birthday. I don't know if you remember this. For Pip's birthday is the 13th of May. But for some reason, in the first year of our marriage, it was stuck in my head that her birthday was on the 19th of May. I'm very glad I asked her beforehand and clarified when it was, because yeah, that wouldn't have been good. One day I had a complete mental blank though, and I forgot my son's birthday. This was back in COVID days, right? We were, Isaac was a little bit crook, so we had to take him through those old COVID testing centers where you'd pull up in your car and they'd do all that stuff. So we're there, pull up in the car, and the guy there, before you get tested, he asks you a bunch of questions like, "Who are you? And what's your relationship to this guy here? And what's his full name?" And then he asked me, "What's your son's birthday?" And I just couldn't think. I couldn't remember it. I kind of stammered around for a little bit. And then I had to say to the guy, I don't know. I sometimes wonder what that guy thought of me, and if he tells his friends about the person who didn't know the birthday of his own son. I want to say another birthday I remember is Don Bradman's birthday. Does anyone remember what day Don Bradman was born on? No. And you wouldn't really either. His birthday is the 27th of August. There's two reasons why I remember this. One is because I love cricket. But the second and probably more important reason is it's 2 days after my birthday. So now you all know, 25th of August. Write that one down in your diaries. Yep. Beauty. But of course, today, though, it's actually about remembering Jesus' birth. I wonder, have you ever stopped to think why we do this? Because throughout history, actually, many people have been born on the 25th of December. I don't know if I put any of these people up here. No, I didn't. Humphrey Bogart, the actor. Justin Trudeau, the Canadian Prime Minister, or at least for now, he's the Canadian Prime Minister. Jimmy Buffett, the old singer. Even a guy called Mr. Bushoot, I don't know if I've said his name right there. Apparently, this guy's he's a Roblox star. So all the young kids, you guys know about him, right? But anyway, there's been queens, there's been popes, all sorts of people born on the 25th of December. In fact, I wonder, is anyone here celebrating a birthday today? No. Always thought it'd be really tough if your birthday was the 25th of December. But lots of people are born on the 25th of December, but most of us probably don't remember their birthdays, don't celebrate their birthdays. In fact, we celebrate Jesus' birthday on the 25th of December, but in all likelihood, he wasn't actually born on that day. Truth is, we just don't know when Jesus was born in the year. So why remember Jesus' birthday today? In fact, why celebrate Jesus' birthday at all still? I mean, I'm not saying we should cancel Christmas and just be, you know, sitting at home doing nothing or going back to work. It's fun to have Christmas, but think of all the people who lived and all the people who've done important things in history. Why is it that Jesus is the person whose birth we keep remembering year after year, even 2,000 years later? I mean, even if you want to take religious figures as a thing, we remember Jesus' birthday, but I don't think Muslims celebrate the birthday of Muhammad. I don't think Buddhists celebrate the birthday of Gautama, the Buddha. Why is it that we remember Jesus' birth? That's the question I want to dig in today. And to do that, we're going to be in the part of the Bible that Senki just read for us from John chapter 1. John is a part of the Bible. It's a biography. John was one of Jesus' closest followers. And after Jesus' time on earth was done, John wrote down a biography of all the things Jesus did, particularly in the 3 or 4 years of public ministry in his life. Well, if you go and read through all of the book of John, John's going to tell you all sorts of things. Jesus did some great things. And in fact, he's a really important person in world history. John is convinced of this. But if you think about it, there's actually been lots of people who've done great things in history, right? Lots of important people in the past. But John is going to say to us, you might have heard it already, and throughout the whole biography, he says to us, there's actually more to Jesus than just being important. There's more to Jesus than just the things he did. John says Jesus is so special. Part of the reason why we remember his birthday all these years later, according to John, according to the whole Bible, is that the man Jesus is actually no ordinary person. But actually, he is God come to us as a human. So as I said, Senki just read out the start of John's biography. It's like a summary of all that John wants us to know about Jesus. And I want to go back there now, right to the very start. Look at verse 1 and what it said. In verse 1, it talks about a mysterious thing that John calls the Word. This Word is one who's there with God in the beginning. In fact, the Word is God. In verse 3, it said that the Word is involved in making everything. So the universe as we know it exists because of this Word, says John. You get the idea here, right? Whoever this Word is, this Word is a significant player. But then down in verse 14, this is where it says something quite stunning. Verse 14, it says, the Word became flesh. He made his dwelling among us, came to live with us. And as we read on John, we find out this Word, it's John's way of talking about Jesus. Jesus is God from eternity past. He's the reason we have life and breath in our lungs. And John says that eternal God has come. He's put on flesh. He's become human, just like you and I are human. They're a bit old now, but I love the Terminator movies. I mean, I think they've made like 5 or 6 of them now, but really all you need to know is the first two. In both Terminator 1 and 2, Arnold Schwarzenegger plays the T-800. He's a Terminator, a robot. But he's made to look human, right? He's a robot underneath, but they've just put a layer of living tissue on so he can get around and people don't know he's a robot because he looks like a human. The thing is, he's never actually a human, right? He's always just a robot that looks like a human. The Bible's telling us Jesus is not like the Terminator. He's not just the God version of a T-800, not God made to look like a human. He is totally God, but at the same time, when Jesus steps among us, he's totally human. He becomes not just like us, but he becomes one of us. And so John goes on in verse 18 to tell us how significant that is. He says, no one has ever seen God, right? God is invisible. We can't see him with our eyes. But John says, the one and only Son, Jesus, he himself is God and is in closest relationship with the Father. And this Jesus has made God known to the world and to us. We can't see God, but we can know Jesus, and Jesus shows us exactly who God is. Because Jesus is God become human. So if John is right, if Jesus really is God in the flesh, that is just stunning news, isn't it? It makes total sense why we would remember the birth of Jesus and why we would keep celebrating his birth. Because, I mean, what could be a bigger deal than that? That God who made us, God who's planned out the eternity of ages, that God himself would become like us, would become one of us, that he would turn up and live with us so that we can actually know our God. That's stunning in and of itself. But there's a second question that really comes from that, doesn't it? The big thing we need to ask is why? Why does God come? Why does Jesus put on flesh and become a human being? Yes, it means that we can know God, but Jesus actually has something else in mind too when he comes. And it's all to do with conflict and hostility. Let me explain that. As you look across our world today, right, there is conflict and hostility everywhere. Just think of the United States recently, a lot of conflict at their time of their elections. Let's think of the Middle East, what's happening in places like Israel and Gaza, in Lebanon, in Iran, and in Syria. Think about what's happening in Europe with the Russia-Ukraine war. Think about what's happening in Asia. There's a great civil war happening in Myanmar. Or in Africa, the civil war in Sudan. And we could go on and on. There is so much conflict and hostility right across our world. And in Australia, this is no different either. It's bubbling away here too. There's been, quite recently, a bit of race-based violence happening, especially in Sydney and Melbourne, which stems partly from what's happening overseas, but I also think partly from our own divisive politics here in our country. There's lots of conflict and hostility, but the truth is that all of it is, it's not just kind of out there, is it? As good as Christmas is, it can also reveal the conflict and hostility that exists in our own lives, in our personal interactions with others. It can be that moment at the table when one of the relatives just makes the passive-aggressive comment across the table to someone else. Or it can happen, you know, later on in the afternoon when someone's just had a bit too much to drink and they feel a bit looser in the tongue and they just happen to say what they really think about the other people in their family. Or it might even just be in the loneliness that can come with Christmas, right? Because we're missing people. People aren't there anymore because of things like broken marriages or broken relationships or all sorts of problems. As good as Christmas is, it can be a reminder to us of the conflict, of the hostility that's around us, And I think all of us would agree when we say, that's not a good thing, is it? We don't want it to be like this. But you know, the Bible says, as bad as that is, not to downplay it at all, but the Bible says actually there's a bigger conflict that we have too. There's actually a conflict between each of us and the God who made us. See, what we do with God is this. We're happy to take the good things that God gives us. And let's be honest, in Australia today, God has given many of us so many good things. We're happy enough to take these things from God, but then we shut God out of our lives. We don't want him in kind of imposing on us in any way. There's conflict between God, but the thing is, we're in the wrong. We're the ones who have caused deep offense to him. In the 1990s, there was a song that came out, and there's part of me that thinks this was just for me, because two of my favorite kind of bands, musicians, came together. U2 and Johnny Cash came together to make a song called The Wanderer. It's not a chart-topping hit, but it's a song I've really enjoyed. It speaks about a man who kind of walks around the world, and as he goes around, he sees all sorts of different things. And there's a line in the song that goes like this. He says, I stopped outside a church house where the citizens like to sit. They say they want the kingdom, but they don't want God in it. The Bible is telling us that's what we've done, all of us. We want the kingdom. We want the good stuff from God, all the good things that he could possibly give us. But if we're honest, we'd rather God himself stay out of our lives, you know. Just take a hike, big guy. Let me be me. Right? Can you imagine for a moment the offense that that would be to God? It'd be like the kid who gets Christmas gift after Christmas gift, but he's just ungrateful to those who give him the gifts. He just demands more, but never says thank you. If that would happen, there's a part in all of us, you know, that's just not right, is it? It's not right for a kid to treat his parents or the grandparents or whoever's given the gifts like that. And yet that's how I've treated the God who made me, who's given all his good gifts to me, and yet I've spurned him. That's in fact how we've all treated our God. Which is why Jesus comes. There's hostility from us to God. There's conflict. But Jesus steps in. He becomes a man. And the God-man comes to bring God and men and God and humanity back together again. And in fact, as Sankey read out the Christmas story from Luke earlier, that's what we saw in Luke. In Luke chapter 2, verse 11, the angel says that Jesus is coming as a savior. He comes to save us from our hostility to God and from the consequences of our hostility to God. And then in Luke chapter 2, verse 14, a great many angels appear and they start singing praise to God. And in their song, they say that Jesus comes, and that means it's a time of peace, of goodwill, of peace between humans and our God. Because Jesus came to reconcile us to God, to put things back together between us so that we're no longer offside with him. The conflict and hostility is done away with. I was just, again, this is stunning stuff, isn't it? Anyone here have a favorite Christmas carol? Little Drummer Boy, yeah, okay. Anyone else? No, not really. We're all Christmas Grinches here, except for Ben. You got a one up the back there. What's your favourite? Carol of the Bells. There you go. Another one. Can I tell you about my mum? When I was growing up, my mum didn't so much have a favourite carol as she did a favourite whole CD of Christmas carols. some kind of Anne Murray CD. I don't really quite remember. I've tried to erase it from my memory. See, she would put this CD on whenever we would set up the Christmas tree, and it would go on and on and on all through until Christmas Day, by which time nearly everyone else in the family is trying to find a way to sneak the CD and somehow put it in the bin without her noticing, so that next year we could be saved from this CD again. But Christmas favorite, can I tell you my favorite Christmas carol? It's Hark the Herald Angels Sing. I just like it. It's kind of rousing. It's upbeat. I quite like it. But in fact, the words to the song, I just think they are so rich and compelling. In fact, the words to the Christmas carol, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, really sums up a lot of what we've seen in the Bible today. Let me read here some of the words. This is from verse 2. Verse 2 talks all about how God becomes man, how Jesus is God made man. It says, veiled in flesh, the Godhead. See, God has put on flesh so we can see him, so we can know him now. Hail the incarnate deity, the eternal God has come in human form. Pleased as man with man to dwell, Jesus is our Emmanuel. He's come to be like us, to be one of us, to be our Emmanuel, our God with us. See, Christmas is worth celebrating. It's worth remembering even 2,000 years later, because we're celebrating God become human. God come among us as one of us. And then in verse 3, well, it's all about why Jesus came as the God-man. Mild he lays his glory by. He leaves the place of glory behind. He's born that man no more made. He comes to give us life. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give a second birth. He gives us here a new life, no longer one where we're in hostility towards our God, but where we're reconciled and at peace with our God again. It's a great song. We're going to sing it in a moment. But let me sum up the kind of things I've been saying today. It really is worth us celebrating and remembering Jesus' birthday all these years later, because Jesus' birth means that we can know God. When we look to Jesus, we are meeting our God. And Christmas also means that we can have peace with God. No matter what the past has been like, no matter what's there in your background, Jesus has come as the Savior, as the one to bring us peace, to reconcile us to our God. So I want to say, friends, today, celebrate Christmas, right? It is a day to enjoy the good gifts God gives. Enjoy the day, but at the same time, don't ignore God, right? Don't shut God out of your life. Make sure he has that right place in your life today, and also every day after today too. And can I just say, if you're not really sure about all this, and if you'd like to get to know Jesus just a little bit more, as a church, we've got a Christmas gift for you. On the back table, just up here, there's copies of John's Gospel. You can read the whole shebang. It's not very long, only 50 or so pages. There's two kind of covers, so you can choose the cover you like best. Why don't you take one of these on your way out? They're our gift to you. Why don't you take this Christmas, this summer break, as a chance to meet Jesus for yourself? And in fact, if you'd like to read it with one of us, or to get in touch about anything that's in there, just inside the front cover, we've got our details in there so you can get in touch too. Why don't I just spend a couple of minutes though praying to God, thanking him for some of the things we've seen today. Let me pray. Our Father in heaven, we are thankful for the day you've given us today. Especially we are thankful to you for Jesus, who's come into the world to reveal who you are to us and to rescue us, to reconcile us back to you. We know, Father, we confess that we've been hostile towards you, and we're sorry. We want to ask now of your forgiveness through Jesus, that you'd bring us peace today with you through Jesus. We pray that from now on, from all our days, we'd have you in the rightful place in our life. We wanted to pray this to you now, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen.